Well, it's always good to get a reminder that NATO stands for the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Our next guest says it's the most important treaty the U.S. is a member of, and it's fraying as the group marks its 70th birthday in London. President Trump has called NATO obsolete. Today he repeated his criticism that other NATO countries should be spending more on defense, but he also had some words of support.
We're behind you 100%, and all of the money that's been raised and all of these countries that are all of a sudden putting up money, it's a great thing to see.
Meanwhile, he said that while sitting next to French President Macron, who's called NATO brain dead. Here in Now Security Analyst Jim Walz is in the studio. He's with MIT's Security Studies Program. And Jim, so Trump applauding the countries who are paying more, that's been his biggest concern. Macron calling them brain dead for focusing too much on money and not on actual security. Your take on the tension here?
Well, I think we need to step back and look at where NATO is at. I would say it's at its lowest point, probably since at least the end of the Cold War, maybe up through parts of the Cold War. And what you've seen this week with Macron's issuing statements that the president has criticized, that is the French pushing back and saying, well, if you're going to criticize us all the time, and if you're going to, you know, beat us up with sanctions and put tariffs on us and cozy up to Putin, then maybe we should think about doing something on our own, a European alternative to NATO. That's not going to happen. The Europeans are never going to do it. But it's symptomatic of the fact that this relationship is really rubbed raw. Yes, the NATO states are putting more money in. Yes, that's a good thing. But the most important thing at the end of the day for an alliance is the political commitment.
Yeah.
And if the leader of the United States of America is not fully committed to NATO, and which is what NATO members sense, then that alliance suffers.
Well, with good reason, because what Macron is angry about when you say you're going to do things by yourself, it's Trump's unilateral decision to pull troops out of Syria.
Yes, certainly there's that. I think there are a whole number of things that, you know, part of it is just I'd say there are three things going on that hurt NATO right now. One is the president's, at best, sort of ignoring NATO, at worst, criticizing it. The other is President Erdogan of Turkey. Let's not downgrade that. The most problematic member of NATO, who now wants to use his interest in attacking the Kurds as leverage for bargaining within NATO on other topics like protecting Poland. And then finally, you have President Putin, who is just enjoying this to no end because his number one security objective is to divide and weaken NATO. And that's precisely what's happened.
Putin is enjoying a lot of things, no end, but we'll take that up elsewhere. You also have Turkey buying a Russian air defense system.
Yes.
So how does NATO handle Turkey?
Well, I'd also remind folks that NATO has tactical nuclear weapons in Turkey. And I can tell you in my community that is a topic of some discussion and the feeling that maybe this is reason enough to remove them. I think Erdogan, like President Trump, bold, impulsive actor, switches policies back and forth, is sensitive to criticism. And so the result has been he, too, has been a wild card on this. So he plays footsie with Russia on the S-400s, the defensive missile, yet wants NATO's help with the Kurds. And so he's just a problematic. He's among the most problematic members of NATO. And since NATO has a rule of consensus, everyone has to agree. You know, the larger NATO gets, the more difficult it is to get 100% of the parties to agree. That gives a lot of individual members leverage.
I want to ask you about, it just feels as if there is so much unrest around the world right now. Hong Kong, obviously, but Iran, Iraq. You know, we're not even getting a chance to report on some of this. Your thoughts on that?
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
I mean, and I would say you mentioned some of the good news. It's not always bad news. There's plenty of bad news. But there's some good news here. And when you see citizens rising up and pushing back in Iraq, in Iran, you could say in Catalonia, in Chile, in Sudan, and, you know, sometimes that's met with violence, but it is average citizens pushing back and demanding more of their governments. And when that's nonviolent on both sides, I think that is a real hopeful sign for some of these countries.
But what about when it's not? And your thoughts specifically on Iraq, Iran?
Well, Iraq is going to continue to be a difficult place to govern. I just think that's the way it is. There are deep divisions, right? You've got Sunni, Kurd, and Shias, and you've got corruption, and you've got a weak state. So I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Well, and it also just underscores where we started. NATO is so important.
You know, there's not, when I said before that it's the most important treaty that the U.S. is in, I say that because it's been the fundamental bedrock of the peace and prosperity that we have enjoyed since the end of World War II. And it's a treaty in which we commit our men and women, our soldiers, to die on the behalf of other countries as other countries do to us.
Article 5.
Article 5. And that's a really big commitment militarily. And that has to be matched with a really big commitment politically. And what we suffer today is the military commitment is there. People are spending more money. They're doing the training. They're writing the documents. It's the political commitment that seems to be missing.
Jim Walz, here now, security analyst, MIT Security Studies Program Fellow. Jim, thanks as always.
Thank you.